The Carlow Arts Festival kicked off on Tuesday of this week and continues right through until Sunday. Now, I've spoken about this event a couple of times in recent weeks. We had a competition and I also mentioned it last night because I'm intrigued by it. It takes place on Friday, June the 7th. 8 hours, continuous musical composition performed overnight by an ensemble of musicians and a soprano. Its purpose is to send you to sleep, put the audience to sleep, and you'll be in a tent, I think all by yourself, wrapped up in this beautiful canvas while the music plays all around you. And the hope is that you will fall asleep as you listen. Composed, the piece is called, by the way, Sleep, composed by British composer Max Richter, who joins me now from BBC Studio in Oxford. It's not the usual function of a piece of music from a composer. Here, let's have a listen to this. I want you to go to sleep, please. Max, what on earth sent you to compose a piece with that precise purpose in mind?
Well, I got to thinking a little bit about, our day-to-day experience, the way we live our lives now. And the big thing, I think, that's happening at the moment is that we're kind of always on. You know, our lives are very kind of virtualized. We live in, you know, with social media and a lot of media information around us all the time. And one of the things I think culture can do and arts can do is offer us sort of a mini holiday, a little pause. And so I wanted to make a piece which could function in that way, just to kind of take you away from sort of daily concerns and something quite immersive that can transport you to a kind of a restful place.
And from the outset, had you, and I've seen some pictures of various performances of this in other venues. Now, in Carlow, in fact, there are 100 tents, but they're each two-person tents. So there'll be two people in the tents, privately, in their own tent. Was the intention from the very outset for you? Did you even have the architecture of the performance space in mind in terms of how it would be laid out and the fact that it would be performed late at night, in fact, overnight?
Yes. I mean, nighttime is very special. It's an incredibly important part of our lives, of course, sleeping, but it's a part of our lives we don't really think too much about. And yet, you know, all our sort of health and mental well-being rests on it. And, you know, I'm aware that we're chronically sleep deprived as a culture. You know, people are sleeping less and less, and insomnia and sleep disturbances are very, very common. I set out to make a piece which would sort of populate that nocturnal space in a way which was kind of sympathetic and inviting for people.
Are you a good sleeper yourself?
I am. Yes, I'm a. I could sort of join the Sleep World Championship. I'm very, very lucky.
You don't need one of your own 8-hour pieces to nod you off at night. I suppose what you're doing here in some ways, I mean, the lullaby has been there since, for time immemorial, rather. It's sung to little babies to send them off to sleep. Is this effectively an adult lullaby, if you like, or is there more involved in it than just sending people to sleep?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The lullaby tradition is basically universal in human culture, and that's one of the starting points for me. You know, this idea that there must be something fundamental connecting music and sleeping, music and the night. But the other thing that feeds into it is a little bit of the current neuroscience research about how various sorts of tones and musical structures can actually support, for example, memory consolidation and learning processes that the mind does while we're sleeping. So I looked at some of that research and worked with David Eagleman, the neuroscientist, on that side of the piece.
Yeah, because, we're in the state exams are happening here at the moment. There used to be this idea, at college, I remember somebody saying, well, you know, if you read your notes into a tape and you played them at night while you were asleep, they'd kind of be there in your brain in the morning. I doubt very much that David Eagleman was suggesting something as straightforward as that.
No, but it's interesting that there are sort of direct connections between the kind of sounds you experience while sleeping and the way that the mind behaves. For example, the slow wave sleep process, which is this sort of phase of sleep where all the kind of the neurons all fire in these sort of great waves together. I mean, that can actually be fostered by low frequency sound. Which is rather amazing. So, the piece actually really centres on a lot of low-frequency sound anyway, so it's a very helpful sort of connection.
Well, why don't we listen to a section, in fact, and this piece is called Path 17, Before the Ending of Daylight. So how far into the 8-hour performance do we start to head down Path 17?
I think we're about 3-and-something hours in.
Yeah, so like kind of heading towards halfway. Mm. And you're talking about things would be quite calm, one would hope, at this stage in the performance, certainly in terms of those listening. If it's working the way you want it to work, they should probably mostly be asleep at this stage. Let's have a listen. To actually come in on top of that, because it really does slow things down. That's Path 17 from Max Richter's 8-hour composition, Sleep. It's interesting, Max, the presence of the human voice. How vital, how important was that in your mind at the point of composition, that there should be a human voice there?
Yes, it was important. I guess it connects us back to the lullaby. But also I felt like, from the point of view of someone in the audience, if I wake up in the middle of the night, what do we want? We want to feel we're not alone, and we want to feel there are things around us that we recognize. And the human voice is, there's something very comforting about it. You know, you feel like there's someone there with you. So I wanted that to be quite, kind of central in the piece.
And what was the other instrument that we were hearing there? I thought it was perhaps some kind of organ. Was it a synthesizer?
Yes.
Was it an organ?
Yes, you're hearing an organ and then a sort of synthesizer. Well, it's a processed cello.
Mm. A processed cello?
Mm.
And is the instrumentation set then, no matter where you play it, or does it vary from venue to venue?
It's always the same. It's a string ensemble. It's some keyboards, piano, and the soprano.
I'm just looking at some of the texts that have come into us, particularly one that I wonder what you think about this use of your music. I've adored Max Richter since I first heard his score for The Leftovers. Mm. I heard Sleep, or its first iteration, originally while on a long-haul flight to Japan. It performed it as advertised. This is Greg in St. Margaret. So obviously it did the job for Greg on his flight to Japan. Good use of it, I would have thought.
Excellent, yes, ideal, absolutely, yeah.
And then Tom in County Clare, a music therapist who uses Max's music slot for relaxation for my clients, finds it wonderful. So is getting a good use there as well. In terms of the imagination around sleep, I often we think of writers and say, did the idea come to you in a dream? Have compositions come to you in dreams or come to you in sleep in any way, Max?
Well, I always think composing is a bit like daydreaming or dreaming anyway. You're in this sort of kind of slightly unstructured, fluid state where ideas just kind of float around. And in a way, the job of composing is trying to chase those things down and give them some sort of form. And that's what I see my, my job as being, really.
And you have, you won't be there in Carlow, but you have performed it yourself. It's quite a task for the performers, I would have thought, an 8-hour non-stop performance.
Yeah.
Do they get a little break? Do you give, let them give them, you know, say, right, the cello, you're off now for 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, it's like extreme sports. I mean, I've played 18 of them, and my part is 7.5 hours out of the 8 hours. Yeah, everyone gets little breaks. The string players need more breaks because it's physically just impossible for them to keep playing for such a long time, and the soprano too. But it's a huge physical challenge.
All right, so it's clearly it's an experience as much as it is just a listening to music. That's what you're talking about, Max.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of looking at music performance as an immersive experience, really.
That's Max Richter talking to us about his composition Sleep. It will be pre-performed from midnight this Friday all the way through until 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. 100 tents will accommodate 2 people each as they listen to an overnight performance from the Max Richter Ensemble featuring soprano Grace Davidson. You can find out full details about this on carlowartsfestival.com, and we're told there are a limited number of tickets remaining for Friday night's performance, so carlowartsfestival.com will get you the details there. And Roisin Buckley says, just love this idea, like a slumber party, but without the horror movies.